Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listen to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. And it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S. W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, praise be to God, and wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we come and humble ourselves before you again on this day, that you have blessed us to assemble together once more. Father, we pray, Lord God, as we go into the Word of God, the Lord God, that you would bless us with the presence of your Spirit and help us to comprehend the word of the Lord this day, that you have to be written for us and our eyes to see, that we may feed upon with our spirit. And Father, I personally pray that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. And in my spirit, give me the interpretation that I might rightly divide your word unto the listeners. So, dear God, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank God for another blessed day. And tonight I'm starting a new series, but not so new. It's a connection to, if you've been following me on Blog Talk Radio, the previous two series. One was titled Signs of the Lord Coming. The other one is dealing with the wrath of God. And the reason why I had been doing this, the Lord, number one, the Lord by his spirit dealt with me about continuing on in speaking and talking about this subject. And I understand more why. Because it is very important that his people be warned concerning these last days. And plus, there are many of his people who believe that any day now they can be gone. And when you talk to some of them about preparing in the spirit and getting ready for the things that come, they say, hey, thank God I'm not going to be here. And their thing has been, they said, well, we're not going to be here in the great tribulation because God has not appointed us to wrath. And they have connected the great, quote, the great tribulation with the wrath of God. And that is not true. When I spoke on the wrath of God, we saw in the Word of God that God's wrath comes on those who are ungodly, sinners, prideful, haughty, you name it, against God, you name it, not on his own people. And we see that that wrath is going to be displayed when Christ returns, okay? We've seen that in the scriptures. When he stepped his feet on earth, that is when that wrath is going to be displayed. That's going to be a wrath of God. And it's going to be against, once again, unbelievers, sinners, the pride, the haughty, you know, that the Word of God tells us about, a day that is not of God. And once again, that's going to be displayed on the last day, or the great day, rather, when Christ places feet on earth. So in this, what I'm starting on tonight, that's titled The Wrath of Satan, we're going to go into the Word of God and see who the wrath of Satan is going to be displayed against. And I want you to understand that the wrath of Satan is the one that's going to be displayed during the Great Tribulation. Okay? That's who wrath most definitely is going to be displayed. I believe that some of us as believers have got it mixed up. And we think that the, quote, Great Tribulation is a display of the wrath of God. And in that teaching of the pre-trib rapture, there has been some who taught that the true Christian is going to be taken and the weak Christian is going to be left. Well, if that be the case, and many of them think that the Great Tribulation is the wrath of God, then you're saying that the weak Christians is going to face the wrath of God on. Now, you know, that's kind of, you know, listen to that. Just listen to how that's put. Something don't sound right about that. But anyhow, we're going to look at the wrath of Satan. Now, before I go any further, I want to give all of those of you that are first-time listeners the heads up, because not only would I be going in the scriptures from the Bible, but I will be going in some scriptures from a couple more books that go with the Bible called The Record of Nephite and The Word of the Lord. The Record of Nephite, you can listen to Blog Talk Radio, the episodes, which, you know, they record all our past episodes. And for The Record of Nephite, you can look up the title, Signs of the Restitution and Restoration. And you can look up How Did the Record of Nephite Come Forth. And if you listen to those past broadcasts, you can get more information. There are other parts of the series that go with it, but I'm giving you the heads up because when you go into the archives, it will show you a list of the broadcasts, and you will see that even when you're looking up How Did the Record of Nephite Come Forth, you will see, I think, possibly a part two and all that. So they all go together, amen? And then the other book, which is called The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent through his angelic messenger, the Elijah. You can look up the Lord Jesus communicating, or you can look up Jesus communicating to man through angelic visitation. Yes, he is the Lord Jesus. I'm just giving you the correct title that I put on there. So once again, you can look up Jesus communicating to man through angelic visitation. You can look up How Can I Tell If These Messages Are From God? And you can look up The End Time Work, Restitution and Restoration. And so I wanted to give you the heads up for those of you that are first-time listeners. So when you hear me say, I'm coming from the scripture from, let's say, the Record of Nephite, and you go, to who? Who is that? What are you talking about? Record of who? So you will have the heads up on that. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, having said that, once again, we're going to go on. And what I'm going to start with in this part of the series tonight, most definitely I will not be able to get to all of them, okay? But once again, I want to first of all give you an overall view and understanding, you know, where I stand at. Let me get more personal. I stand in dealing with the Word of God. From what I've seen from the Word of God, and once again, for those of you who are listening, you know, some of you may say, well, hey, I heard this other Christian say, hey, we can be gone any day now. And Brother Nate, you being a Christian saying that ain't true. Who do I believe? Well, this is what I tell you to do. Take what you heard from them and take what you hear from me. Do two things. Number one, take it before the Lord, and number two, study the scriptures yourself. Whatever we give you, study it yourself. Number one, like I said, go to the Lord with it as you study, and study for yourself. Because once again, Brother Nate is not out trying to make it a in-between war thing, okay? But I must tell you what I've seen from the Word of God, and I must tell you what the Lord has given me to speak on this. Amen? Glory be to God. Thank God for Jesus, okay? Hallelujah. And as I said before, we looked at in a couple series before this at how the Lord is going to display his wrath on the day of his return, okay? And we come to understand from the witnesses that we saw from the scriptures, from the Bible to the word of the Lord, the record of Nephi, that we saw who his wrath is going to be displayed on, okay? And we come to understand it is going to be displayed the day he set his feet here on earth. He is going to exercise against the ungodly, and it's not going to be against his own people. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because we must understand, and like I said, there are some believers who one of the things that they use to say, this supports that we can be gone any day now because we're not going to be in the Great Tribulation, because the Great Tribulation is a display of the wrath of God. Once again, from what I've seen from the Word of God, that is not true. The Great Tribulation is not going to be a display of the wrath of God. But however, it's going to be a display of the wrath of Satan. Amen? And that's what we're going to look at now. We're going to look at concerning the wrath of Satan and who is it going to be exercised against. And once again, I've been doing this because we got to differentiate. There's a difference between the wrath of God and the wrath of Satan and how it is displayed. Okay? Amen. Glory be to God. So, glory to Jesus. So, having said that, amen, let's open with the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the living God. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 12. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Hallelujah. Now, we're told here, and it's revealed to us that Satan exercises wrath, okay? And we're told here from the Word of God, Satan knows his time is short. So he's working with the knowledge of knowing that he has an end time of what he's going to do coming soon. Okay? Don't let the devil fool you like he's going to be doing what he's doing forever. He knows that his time is short. He has knowledge of this. Okay? You know, he's not doing what he's doing to have no knowledge that his time is short. He knows his time is short. And this is the reason why he's doing all he's doing, causing all the havoc he can cause. Because he knows that he has a short time. Amen? Glory be to God. Now, when we look at the word wrath in that 12th verse, the word wrath comes from the Greek word thumos. Okay, thumos. And thumos means passion, as if breathing hard, fierceness, indignation, wrath. Now, notice it says passion as if breathing hard. Have y'all ever seen people so mad that they breathe hard? You can see them just taking deep breaths, you know, inhaling, exhaling in such a strong way. Well, this is where the word wrath is giving you a picture of what it is, okay? Amen. Now, you have some people being angry, and you know they look a certain way. But when you got them huffing and puffing,
They in the wrath stage. And see, Satan is in the wrath stage, people. He's in the wrath stage because he couldn't have his way. He's angry with God. And whether you want to believe it or not, he's angry with you. Now, you may say, well, what do I do to him? You ain't have to do nothing to him. You were just created, okay? Amen. You were just created. It wasn't nothing you had to do to him. You were just created. He hates God, and he hates anything God created, okay? Because, see, he wanted to be the top man. And God let him know, I ain't sharing no leadership like that with you, period. And God showed him what was going to happen, okay? Amen. So we see that Satan, now we're told here by John the Revelator in here that the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, okay? He come down having great wrath, okay? Once again, you didn't have to do anything to him, okay? You ain't got to. Listen, he hates, period, and he hates man. Even though the sinners think that he love them, you know, or many of the sinners, I put it this way, think he love them, he don't love nobody. He don't even love his own helpers. He will beat and jump and kick and all that stuff to them out of his anger. He doesn't love anyone. And so the Bible said he having great wrath, okay, great wrath, okay? So once again, picture someone who's so mad that they're breathing hard, inhaling, exhaling hard. I know some of y'all know what I'm talking about because you have come across people that ain't, okay? Maybe you've seen them. Maybe you've seen some on TV. Well, that's give you the picture of what wrath is, okay? Amen. So Satan does display wrath. Don't be fooled by him trying to make you think he's some soft, kind, and gentle being. He is not. By far, he is not. Okay? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He may have fooled many people. You got some that follows him and would dare even use words like kind and loving with him. I mean, come on. But they being deceived. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. The book of Isaiah, chapter 14. The book of Isaiah, 14. Thank God for the word of God. The book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Amen. I'm going to read verses 12 to verse 16. And the word said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? But thou hast said in thy heart, I would ascend into heaven. I would exalt my throne above the stars of God. I would sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, excuse me, that the world as a wilderness and destroy the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. Now, one of the things I wanted to look at in verse 16 is when Lucifer finally is, you know, completely put down, per se, in a sense, where the Bible said here that there are going to be those that are going to look upon him and say, and consider saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Hallelujah. How is it that he could cause the earth to tremble, or the inhabitants here on the earth to tremble? Now, we can think of tremble being a result of people being afraid and fear, okay? Well, one way he can do it is through the displaying of his wrath. Because remember, Revelation 12 said that he come down having great wrath, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Showing off his anger, you know? See, the Lord doesn't want his people afraid of the devil, okay? Because he told us in the Bible, he had not given us spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And see, sometimes you can make people afraid, not just through your actions, but through what you say to them. Okay? You can say some stuff and have people all, you know, shaking and trembling. Amen. Hallelujah. I said you can display your wrath in your actions or even in what you say. Glory to God. I sense the Holy Ghost on that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And see, that's what Satan, that's what he had been doing, and that's what he's still doing to this day. Amen. And I know that many people don't believe it. You know, I know they, no, especially some of his followers. Okay. You know, they some of his followers who are being deceived, thinking that the devil is a friend of theirs when he's not. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And see, Satan got many people in fear. Okay. Whether he's speaking to them or where he's speaking to them through others. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one way you can look at it where the devil can display or cause fear to come in man, okay? Whether, you know, even when he is speaking through others, like people who are demon-possessed, okay? Satan has been known, you know, he would speak through them, okay? And say things, okay? And for people who's not, you know, used to hearing that, per se, and he speaks, it can cause them to be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. So Satan, hallelujah, has and will display his wrath. And we want to understand this. And so here we're told through Isaiah that the people, you know, at the end, when Satan will not be able to have no more power over them, is going to say, is this the man, okay, that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, okay, had us all afraid, had us so scared it was pitiful, due to displaying of his wrath, things that he did and things that he said. Is this the man? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost, people. I sense the Holy Ghost now. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan has and will show his wrath in these last days before Christ returns. And I think sometimes some of us as Christians forget that there is an enemy out there named Satan, and he's not laying down. Yes, he's been defeated by Jesus. Thank God for that. But remember, we read in Revelation 12, he knows his time is short, so he's doing all he can do. With him, he's like, I'm going to cause as much havoc as I can before my time is up. Y'all done heard of people like that, haven't? Amen. Who know that their faith or whatever they're going to go through is not going to be good. They say, hey, well, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to do as much dirt as I can do. I know many of y'all heard that. I've even heard that from a lot of people when I was growing up. Okay? They knew that what they was doing was finna have an end. And so, hey, they said, hey, I'm gonna do everything I can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go back to Revelation 12. Now, I want to say, as we go back to Revelation chapter 12, and I was intended to say this earlier, but I forgot. We're going to be doing some spiritual exercise. What you say? What do you mean? Well, we're going to be doing some exercise with our fingers, okay? So that's why we're doing a lot of turning back and forth. You know, exercise is good, whether you're walking or working out, lifting weights or doing aerobics or whatever. Exercise is good for the body. And exercising our finger is very good. But see, sometimes you have people that don't want to exercise their fingers. They want to stay in one spot. They don't want to, you know. For example, when you're really breaking down and studying, you're going to be exercising your fingers. And what I mean is you're going to be turning here and there and everywhere, you know, here and there in different parts. As, you know, many times, as I told you before, that the word of God is like one big puzzle and it has to be connected. So you're going to be going through a sequence where you're turning here and there, okay? You're going to go through a series, a sequence where you're going to exercise that finger and turn pages. You know that some people don't even want to do that. I mean, got the book in their hand, you know, and the one that's teaching the lesson is telling you where to turn to, and people don't want to turn. Because why? Many of them don't have no interest in learning the word of God. That's just straight true. There's some, quote, in the church that don't have an interest in knowing the word of God. Because when you really do some true hard down study, you're going to be going from here to there. You're going to be flipping pages. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we're doing some spiritual exercise. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 and 13 now, which verse 13 is going to be our key verse. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verses 12 through verse 13. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Give you all a chance to make it there. Glory to God. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 to 13. The word of God said, therefore, rejoice ye heavens. Okay. Rejoice ye heavens. And ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he have but a short time. Okay? Oh, man, that just made the wrath, you know. And he said, not just wrath, great wrath. Because you know his time is short. Amen. Because listen, he wants to rule, people. He wants to rule. Now, and he don't want to out. He don't want to, and not only do he want to rule, he wants to do whatever he wants to, and on top of that, he doesn't want to answer to God. He wants to be his own, quote, leader, and he wants to lead everybody else. Now, verse 13 said, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And let's stop there for a minute. So, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he did something. He did something. He didn't just walk around mind his own business. Okay? He said, I'm going to mess with someone. And the Bible said he persecuted the woman. Now, let's go back here for a minute. It said, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth. So who is the dragon that persecuted this woman? Is it a literal dragon or is it figuratively have a meaning? Who is this dragon who was cast to the earth persecuted this woman. Well, this dragon is none other than Satan. This is the devil. This is the one that verse 12 is talking about. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, how do we know this? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, verse 2, being a key verse. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 2 being our key verse. Amen? And let's look at what the Word of God has to say here. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 2 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Do you see that? So that dragon in Revelation 12, who was cast to the earth, when Satan was kicked out, kicked down, okay, got whooped. Amen. And then he got whooped out of heaven. Okay. This dragon persecuted this woman. So this dragon represents figuratively or represents Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand that? He is called the dragon, that old serpent. So this dragon is Satan, okay? And not only is this Satan, but he is also the one whom the Lord Jesus has given to his people authority over. Now you said, well, how do we know this? Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to look at verse 17 to verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 19. Hallelujah. 10, verse 17 to verse 19. It said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils. Hallelujah. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now stop there for a minute. Now notice Jesus said, I give unto you power. That word power, the first word power there, translated in original Greek, means authority. To tread on serpents and scorpions. He's not talking about literal serpents. He's talking about figuratively, spiritually meaning the devil and his demons. Because remember, we read in Revelation 20, verse 2, where he said what? That angel lay hold on that dragon, that old who? Serpent. So that dragon is Satan, from what we see from Revelation 20 and Luke 10. And is also Satan, whom we've been given authority over by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the we is his people, those that are born again. You get that? I hope that you heard that, people. Because, hallelujah. Because too many of us as Christians, we have been letting the enemy do stuff in our house when we don't have to. I say it again. We've been letting the enemy do stuff in our house when we don't have to. And in our prayer, we're telling the Lord to do something, and we're wondering, why is no change? Why is he still able to do this? Because the Lord gave you authority to do. He gave you authority to come against the enemy. Amen? Yes, you born-again believer. I didn't say the sinner man, because sinner man haven't been born again. But to those that are born again, Jesus gave the authority over the devil. He said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. Amen. So that dragon that persecuted the woman was none other than Satan, whom we've been given authority over. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. Told you we're going to be doing some turning. Revelation chapter 12, let's go back to it. We're going to look at this time verses 1 to verse 3. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 3. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 3, the word said, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with a child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, the reason why I took you back to this Revelation 12, but we look at verse 1, is because this same dragon that we read in verse 13 that persecute the woman, now there's another thing of a description given by him about him, okay? This woman in verse 1 is the same woman that he persecuted in verse 13. And we'll get to the woman, you know, a little bit later. But this dragon was referred to as the great red dragon. And here we're told by John something interesting, is that he had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Hallelujah. So we're like, well, what is that about? Okay. Well, we first looked at and established that this dragon is Satan. So there's no doubt that it is Satan. But there's also another connection to who this dragon is. Amen. By this dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, it represents something else too. Not only do this dragon represent Satan, but it also represents a nation that is in service to Satan. Hallelujah. It represents a nation that is in service to Satan. Hallelujah. That 7 heads and 10 horns, that 7 heads represent the 7 forms of government. Amen. That this nation had. And it also represents the 7 heels on which this nation sat. Look at Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 17. Now look at verse 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. The word of God said, and here is the mind which have wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. 1 is and the other is not yet to come. Not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, this nation, okay, that sits on 7 mountains, having the 7 heads, the dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, representing the 7 mountains, representing the 7 forms of government. And the nation that was ruling at the time of the giving of this vision, and the nation is talking about, is Rome. Okay? And here, when he said in verse 9, the 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitting. Now he said, wait a minute, it says a woman. I'm confused. where it is the dragon, but also, like I told you, it's not only Satan, it's a nation in service to Satan, which also involves a church, okay, which is the Roman Catholic Church. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And see, at one point, at one time, there was a war among them at Rome. And that war, they was divided into 10 kingdoms. That's why that dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns, okay? Because when there was a war among Rome, it was divided into 10 kingdoms, each being ruled by a king, okay? And that nation was Rome. And the Roman Catholic Church is there. That's the center of it. Rome, okay? Hallelujah. So what do we come to understand overall? That this dragon that persecuted the woman in Revelation 12 and 13 is Satan, and also a nation in service to Satan, or you can also say a church in service to Satan. They come together to worship the woman. I mean, it's not, excuse me, not worship, but persecute the woman. So Satan was displaying his wrath, especially through this nation or this particular church, in persecuting the woman. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 is going to be our key verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 is going to be our key verse. Amen. I'm going to read these two verses. I'm going to tell you why I went there. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Word says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where the time passed, ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now stop there. Notice that he said that, and he was talking to the Christians at Ephesus, and he talked to them about their past, and he was letting them know that in their past they were spiritually dead, and they walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So the ways of the world was in conjunction with this prince of the power of the air. Who is this prince of the power of the air? It is Satan. Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of this air. He said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of not obedience, but disobedience. So if Satan is able to work in the children of disobedience, then that means he can display his wrath through them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's why that can go with Revelation 12, glory to God, about the dragon persecuting the woman, because it is Satan and a nation in service to Satan, or also a church in service to Satan, where he is even able to work his wrath through them against the woman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Jesus. Let's go back to Revelation 12. I know some of you say, oh, my goodness, boy, we just back and forth. Once again, We need to exercise, people. We need to exercise, okay? We need to exercise the fingers. Some of us ain't really hardly, probably ain't never exercised the fingers. We got a Bible. But I'm talking about truly exercise the fingers, okay? Just like think about literal exercise. You know, you don't get up there and pick up something for 1 minute and say, oh, I'm done. Uh-uh. Come on. Ain't no exercise. You just pick up. I ain't saying you got to do 1 or 2 hours, but you at least do a few more minutes or something. Okay. Now, Revelation 12, it said, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. So we've already looked at and talk about who the dragon represents. Now, let's talk about who is the woman that this dragon persecuted. Okay. Well, I want you to know that the woman is none other than the Church of Christ. Because when God talks about the church, he referred to the church symbolically as a woman. Okay. You say, how do we know that? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, hallelujah, verse 25, hallelujah. Well, let's go to verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Look what the word of God says. He said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as, A-S, that's like what? When we went to school, was it like a simile or metaphor or a simile where there's two things compared? And he said, for the husband is the head of the church, even as Christ is the head of the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. You see that? He said, the husband is the head of the wife. So picture that, husband, head of the wife. He said, even as Christ is the head of the church. So therefore, he's comparing the Christ with the husband and what? The wife with the church. So when the Lord Jesus talks about a church or churches, he refers to them symbolic as a woman. Amen. That's why when we looked at Revelation 17, when it talks about the seven mountains, the woman sit on it. That's why I told you that it also represents the church, the Roman Catholic Church. Because when you go into Revelation 12, you read about a woman. Then you read about a woman in Revelation 17, you'll notice the difference about her. Okay? One woman was clothed with the sun. Okay? In fact, let's look at that. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. Show you a difference so you can understand what woman that this dragon persecuted. Okay? Revelation chapter 12. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 1. The word of God says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, remember in verse 13 said that this dragon went to persecute the woman who brought forth the man child. So this one woman here, right here, in Revelation 12 and 1, is the Church of Christ. She was clothed with the sun, representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The moon under her feet, which is the old law of Moses, no longer in effect. And upon her head, crown of 12 stars, signifying the 12 apostles, those that are closest to authority to Christ. Okay? Now, look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1. Revelation 17, verse 1. The word of God says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. See, that woman, this different with this woman is that she is called a whore that sits on many waters, where the woman in Revelation 12 was not called a whore, okay? So this woman right here, Revelation 17, is that evil church, which is the Roman Catholic Church, which is the same church that Satan is working through and being able to display his wrath through. Do you understand? And is going to do it again in these last days. Amen. So the woman that the dragon was persecuting was not this Revelation 17 woman. The woman he was persecuting was the Revelation 12:1 woman that was that had brought forth the child. You get that? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to stop it there today and continue the Lord say the same with part two. Lord say the same tomorrow. Look for the advertising. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for this word you've given us today. And I pray, Lord, that you will water the seed that I've sown, that it may bring forth and bring forth the increase. Father, I thank you for this opportunity and time you've given me. And I praise your glorious name. So you are worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day. Thank God for all you've been listening. The Lord said the same, look for the advertisement tomorrow, part two, the wrath of Satan. So once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.